Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though time is a construct, it's 8 p.m. somewhere, and Battleborn Tech is broadcasting on FM 95.1 and streaming on knbc.org, where we never turn back from your tech battles. The opinions on Battleborn Tech are from Christy, Joe, and our callers. They are not those of KNVC or Computer Core, whose colorful opinions on tech issues are not suitable for radio broadcast anyway. Hey, can't get enough of Battleborn Tech for just a half hour on Tuesday? Well, we were assigned tech at birth, so the last name of our website is Tech, T-E-C-H. And find our life story at battleborn.tech. That's right, not commercial and certainly not organized, but tech, Nicole. That's battleborn.tech for even more of your tech battles and tech victories. Looking for more Battleborn Tech? You can have it anytime and by calling us at 775-241-3571 anytime. That's 775-241-3571. Leave your tech challenge and a good time to call you back to record you to be on air, and we'll get back to you to solve your tech problems. Don't have a phone? Hard to believe. But if you do and you want to email us at questions, that's questions with an S, at battleborn.tech. That's right. You can email us or call us and help us keep you in the battle.
So speaking of turning your clocks back, you're leaping forward. You're actually running on Windows 11 now, aren't you?
That's right. I decided to take the big jump and see what all the hype is about. Microsoft provided a registry key to add and allowed me to upgrade my i7, which seems to be good enough, but not good enough for Windows 11. And my TPM, my Trusted Program module, was only at 1.2. But luckily, Microsoft says, well, if you really, really want to, you can put in this registry key and you can use it. One of the things I found out is that that does not fool Windows Update and does not fool the little helper program that you can download, the Update Advisor. Both of them still say no, no, no. The only way to use that registry key and install Windows 11 is by downloading the CD image or the ISO image, mount it, which is fairly simple. You just click on it and run it like it was loaded in your CD drive or your DVD drive. That way you can use the registry key and Windows 11 will install. It does give you a scary warning. Part of it I'll read here. If you proceed installing Windows 11, your PC will no longer be supported and won't be entitled to receive updates. Damages to your PC due to lack of compatibility aren't covered under the manufacturer warranty. I'm pretty sure it's not covered anyway, but okie doke. Well, with that, I blew on by and accepted that scary warning and went on. And you know what, Joe? It says, you know, you got to watch, you got to read carefully. It says not entitled. However, I think I've already had 4 updates to Windows 11 since I installed it. So updates are coming, at least for now, but they do. I have been warned. I guess I'm a Microsoft outlaw now.
Well, on the Macintosh side, Apple did put out macOS Monterey, and the initial release of macOS Monterey resulted unexpectedly in a whole bunch of very expensive Apple laptops being bricked. In other words, they were rendered unusable, unstartable, and they wouldn't even turn on. So there was no rescuing. And yeah, that's a major oversight on the part of quality assurance. However, they did put out an updated release of macOS Monterey. So if you heard the horror stories of computers being rendered useless by trying to upgrade to Monterey, Apple says they've discovered the problem and it was a firmware issue, and they've made a release and put it out there of Monterey that they promise will not turn your computer into a very expensive doorstop.
Well, that's good. I'm against doorstops. Well, I don't have anything against doorstops, but I prefer not to spend thousands of dollars on them. That's great.
Yes, and we'll have some more on the Apple technology front coming up after a phone call. We are going to kick off our phone calls this week with Jim. And Jim has a question about mirror resolution.
Go ahead, caller.
This is Jim from Carson City.
Hey, Jim from Carson City. Thanks for calling Battleborn Tech. Hey, friends, be like Jim and call in at 775-241-3571 anytime. That's 775-241-3571. Jim, you already know that, but what don't we know? What's going on with you?
Okay, so here we go. I'm working as a tutor with a student who is on a small MacBook Pro laptop. So it's probably about a 13-inch screen, and it's really difficult for the two of us to look at the same thing. So we tried to set up a second monitor, and it was kind of challenging trying to find the right cord to hook up an Apple laptop to a Dell monitor, but we did it. Okay. And after we got this thing set up and we fired it up and we thought we were going to be all set, all I'm seeing on my monitor is the sort of the top toolbar, if you will, of what he sees on his screen. And I can see him moving his cursor. Other than that, something went very wrong. I just have this weird color display. Not sort of vertical bars, like there's something wrong with the monitor, though I'm not going to rule that out entirely. We have only tried one monitor at this point. But it just seems like we're missing something obvious here.
Okay. All think? Right. Yeah. So getting back to the first part about the cords and things. Now, some Macs have HDMI out. I assume that's not your Mac. No HDMI for you?
I do not believe so, no.
Okay. Well, there's also Mini DisplayPort and Thunderbolt, and then Thunderbolt 2, Thunderbolt 3, and Thunderbolt 4, which is also USB-C, so good times. And there are various combinations of what you can do. I think what's going on is that Apple has helpfully, but not in your case, decided that you need what's called extended display. And not mirrored. Are you looking at mirrored? You said you're tutoring, so you both want to look at the same thing.
Exactly. I want to see exactly what he's seeing, so we don't have to sort of crane our necks here to stare at this little screen.
Okay. You've got a little bit of issues with the resolutions you're going to have to deal with, because you don't have exactly the same screen size going back and forth. But whether it is mirrored, which is the same on both, which is what you want, or extended, which is, it's like a more screen real estate off to the side above or below the main monitor, is controlled under Apple in display settings. The actual, you know, the little logo that looks like an Apple, that guy. And so you would go there, system preferences, and then displays. You could do detect displays button. You might need the option key to see detect displays. And then you can choose extended display from the pop-up menu. Click on the display pop-up menu. Also, when you look down, there's a little box that says mirror display, and you, I guess, would want to check that box. It's checked by default, but I don't know what's going on. It's obviously not for you. Another possibility is that maybe you do have a mirror displayed on, and that's something to check, but maybe you got some resolution issues going on. I can imagine if you had a really low resolution external monitor and high resolution laptop,
I suspected that might actually be the case. This monitor is probably a good 8 to 10 years old. And I was thinking with the quality of an Apple,
might be happening is that poor little monitor is mirroring as much as it can. So you would have to get into the buttons, of course, over on the side of the monitor and see if there's an option to boost that display up, or you may have to shell out for a display that can match the resolution or exceed that of the laptop so you can see the entire screen. Of course, the other way to do it is to step down the resolution on the laptop so the poor monitor can keep up. Good times with double screens. When I set them up, just because of so much headaches over the years, I am adamant about getting the exact same size and model of monitors to send out. I won't let my clients or customers go out the door with a mismatched monitors if they're doing the extended or even mirrored display, especially mirrored display. But it's definitely something you can do, and definitely something that Apple has a lot of talks on. Now, fun fact. Now, let's suppose you go crazy nuts and you've got a Thunderbolt 4, and you've decided to put four monitors together, which is possible, Thunderbolt 4. Now, of course, only the first one will – you can even daisy chain them, but only the first one gets powered. But what if you wanted to extend some, mirror others? Oh, my gosh. Well, you want to – what you need to do is extend all of them, and then you click and drag the monitor that you want to have a mirror and place it on top of the monitor you want mirrored. So if you want two joined together, you actually click and drag the monitor on top of the other monitor to mirror. That's the only time you don't have a checkbox or something in a menu and you actually have to move monitors to get the mirror. And so there's a little trivia tech for our four monitor person up out there somewhere that's going crazy with the Mac. All right. Well, I hope you either get a higher resolution monitor might be what's going on. But, the simple thing to do is to check and make sure you have that mirrored checkbox checked. And it is mirroring what's going on. And if you want, of course, you can check it and clear it and see if the display changes and how it changes on that. And now you got to watch the arrangement of the monitors, because one of the things that drives crazy is if the computer thinks the monitor is on the right side, but it's also on really on the left, you have to go off the right for the cursor to appear on the other monitor on the left. So you got, that's a good thing to move around and to make sure that the computer's display of monitors matches the physical display. Or if you want to trick someone, you can move around, but that would be mean, Jim. You wouldn't do that.
Okay, so let me just confirm. So the first place to start is make sure that it's checked off for the mirror display.
Yes, that little box is filled, let's say. And it actually will straight up say mirrored. So, that's what you're looking for.
Would you think the next step perhaps is I should try to lower the resolution on the laptop and see if that improves what I'm seeing on the monitor?
Sure.
Before I go to buying a new monitor with a higher resolution.
Yeah. Whatever. There's always a question of time versus treasure in these things. but if you can stand a lower resolution on the laptop and that helps the mirroring over on the ancient monitors, well, sure. That's something you can do. Just remember to restore it when you take that monitor away. But yeah, that would be a no cost solution to that allow you to see pretty much the whole screen instead of just a portion of it on the ancient monitor. Do you know what size that monitor is? It's an old 17-inch or something?
Yeah, I think it's 17.
I'm thinking you're just grabbing – it's actually doing mirror, because that is the default. I think it's actually doing mirror, and it's just doing the best it can and only showing a portion of the screen.
Yeah, I think there are actually some old Egyptian carvings that have pictures of this monitor. It's roughly that old. So
okay, all righty. Well, you can, yeah, definitely step on down the resolution. I don't know if you're an older or younger guy, but as the resolution goes down, the fuzziness goes up, and that might be tiring after a while.
I'm not going to go near that.
Be aware. Be aware of the potential for eye strain if you drop down that resolution. That is something that you may. Well, of course, you know that it does make it bigger. The text bigger. It's just not as sharp. So,
gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate this.
All right. Well, good luck in your monitor quest, and I hope you figure out a happy medium and get a resolution to your problem. There you go. That's quality radio there.
All right. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Well, what we first thought was a extension versus mirror option, I'm pretty sure turned out not to be, especially since mirror is the default as soon as you hook up a monitor on the Apple side. What I think was going on, we came up with the resolution. Now, the resolution can be set on the computer for monitors. Usually there is one marked and defaulted as native resolution, which is the best resolution setting for that monitor and the one you should try to set up your system to use. But if you need to mix and match, you just might have to lower the resolution on your better monitor to match the highest resolution on your other monitor. And you get a little fuzziness. Like I told Jim, you really need to go shopping for both at once, or at least take the absolute specs of the one that you're trying to match and match it out. I always like to have the exact same make and model when I'm using my multiple monitor. In fact, right now, exactly the same monitor and make and monitor is on my setup right now that I'm looking at and works well. And I don't get any bump as I go from one screen to another and get to see the entire screen and windows as I move them back and forth. So resolution, something to look for when you're doing multi-monitor setup.
It does help to have them all be the same resolution. I've got one monitor that's insanely high resolution, but the others are not. So anytime the mouse drifts into that third monitor, big speed bump there. We've got some more Apple product news here. If you have run out and purchased a iPhone 13, make sure you take care of that screen. Get a screen protector, get a case, because Apple has come out and said third-party shops are no longer able to replace the screen on an iPhone 13. Apparently, the chip that creates a unique fingerprint for your phone, it's part and parcel of the chip that drives the screen as well. So third-party shops are not able to replace the screen. Well, let me rephrase that. They can replace the screen, but as a result, you're no longer able to use Face ID. So what's that going to mean for third-party repair shops? They either have to get very expensive equipment to be able to replace the chip, or they have to stop replacing screens, which of course is the bread and butter of many third-party repair shops. As for right now, Apple is the only authorized repair shop to get your screen replaced on an iPhone 13. And considering the current sales spike of iPhone 13s, I certainly hope that the third-party shops can find a workaround.
Well, Joe, that is now, if you always wanted the other side of whatever Apple's doing, you go to iFixit. iFixit is the go-to place for computer repairs and fix-it peoples. And of course, they really hate this. And they point out that it used to be able to do it with some hand tools, of course, which they sell. But now you need a microscope and do some micro-soldering to get that Face ID chip out and replaced. There is no apparent reason why Face ID and screen replace should be so intimately related. Maybe I'm missing some crazy interaction that no, but iFixit is not impressed with the that the Face ID needs to be so closely tied in with the screen. But maybe it could.
We've got another phone call here. This is Elaine. And Elaine, I think, is wanting to give last rites to her iPad by the looks of it.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Elaine, and I have a problem with my iPad.
All right. Well, thanks for calling Battle Born Tech, Elaine. What's going on?
Well, I have a brand new cord, so I plugged it in, and I wiggled the cord, but it's like at 14%, and then it just kind of hangs at 14%, and then I've left it for a couple of days, and then it'll be 100%, and then next thing I know, it's back to 14%.
Yeah, that sounds good. And it definitely is charging. The little light turns green, little battery thing turns green, and it says charging.
Yeah, it says charging, but...
Yeah.
And it did charge, and then... And then now it doesn't charge anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I think the battery's tired, and it's time for us to salute it as we take it to the great recycler up north or wherever you go. Those batteries they don't last. We were getting better and better at putting more power in them, but what is the current batteries? They like to be kept between. Up and down around 60-80%, floating around between 60-80%. They don't like to be taken all the way down to nothing, and they don't like to be banged up against 100. In fact, the newer devices will keep batteries at like a 50% charge unless you tell it different, just trying to preserve the battery. But that's neither here nor there. iPad battery is not really replaceable. And you don't want to be messing with batteries because fire, explosions, and things that's not good outcomes. You don't want to do that. So it's off to the recycler with the iPad, and then you can go. Do you like the iPad? Obviously, you do. Yeah, been using
it. Well, what happens? What happens to the stuff I have on it? I mean, I have pictures on it.
I got good news. Most likely it's very, very difficult to not have the pictures on your Apple ID, your Apple account. You sign in, don't you, when you use the iPad? There's really no way else to do it easily. Now, theoretically, those all should be up in iCloud. Have you heard of iCloud? Does it say it's putting things in iCloud? No, yes, maybe. Okay. Well, you know, I thought maybe you noticed. That's okay. What we can do before we do a recycling then, what we would want to do is get the replacement iPad, sign into the app ID. Do you know your password and all that good stuff? You have to probably have to put it in every time you start up or every now and then. Sometimes it's just a code number to start up. But you can do that and sign in with your Apple ID and make sure all your stuff is there. If not, there's other ways to do it. One of the ways is while it still has the 14% before it's completely dead, or you can awkwardly run the old one plugged in. I mean, that is possible. And then enough to back up those photos and things to the cloud, to the iCloud. Somebody a little bit more savvy can help you get that done. Also, there are little, do you know what kind of plug you got on that iPad? You know which number of iPad you have? There's two, there's four, nothing. Okay. Yeah. So what you plug in, does it look like a fingernail? Or does it look like a little tiny comb, a little tiny brush comb?
Little comb.
It's not a little tiny tab. Okay, well that's a little bit more complicated. They used to sell what's called a camera accessory, which allowed to plug in that little comb-like adapter. And that gives you some place to plug in a USB so you can offload the USB. So I probably don't want to buy one of those, even if you can to get those. So your best bet is to go to iCloud. You can also, if you go to a store to get an iPad, like the Apple Store, you can, or Best Buy, or any place that sells iPads and services them, You can certainly throw them yourself at their mercy and say, what about my photos? And they can help you with those. And also a repair shop can also help you with the iPhone, the photos to get to your iCloud account. And of course, if you have a friendly relative or friend or neighbor or someone or a grandchild, I don't know, Elaine, that could help you with those. But you definitely want to keep that old one until you get the new one and you make sure you got the photos over on either the iCloud or over to your new account or on some storage medium there. All right.
Super. Well, okay. Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. Well, it seems like it's a bunch of bad news is that your battery's dead and you got a lot of work ahead of you to get the photos off. But at least you have some clarity.
Right. There is. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling Battle Boy Dead at 775-241-3571. Thanks, Elaine.
Well, we did talk about it with Elaine because Elaine didn't bring up that she had a computer, but most people have another computer. If you're not solely tablet-centric in your home and you have a computer, you probably have connected it up to your iPad. It's a good thing to do for backup and also a really good way of getting your photos off the iPad onto your computer for storage, backup, sending, whatever you're going to do. Hey, Joe, we got a little time. I'd like to make a public service announcement. I think maybe we have to do this every week, but I get a call or a contact about people that are setting up their new computer or their new laptop is most likely, and they get asked for a network security key. And they go, what is a network security key? And it's the Wi-Fi password. I don't know why they just can't say, please put in your Wi-Fi password. That would be clear. Windows wants to call it a network security key, and I suppose it is. But most of the time, you'll turn over your router, the box that you got from your provider, your internet service provider, your terminal box, and it will say Wi-Fi password, not network security key. So look for the Wi-Fi password when you're asked for a network security key, and you'll be up and online before you know it.
I bet they did that because Radius servers, and that's not quite Wi-Fi. It's more of a network security key in that case if you're using a Radius server. But that's beyond the scope of the program.
Yeah, and beyond the scope of most users. I'm thinking most people need their password rather than the Radius key. So that's something that pass that along. Keep that in the back of your memory because that's going to throw you the next time you get that new laptop with Windows 11 on it. And you say, what in the world is that? It's the Wi-Fi password.
Well, speaking of locking things up for security purposes, we got to wrap it up for today. We're drawing to the end of our allotted time on this airwaves. So we will see you next week. Christy, words of wisdom going out.
So until next week at 8 p.m. Pacific, which is 4 a.m. UTC, keep those mice rolling and those keys pressed. We reboot every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 and KNVC.org. Keep us going with your calls and emails by joining the battle anytime at 775-241-3571 or questions with an S at battleborn.tech. That's battleborn.tech. And our phone number for calling in anytime is 775-241-3571.